Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Happy Saturday, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. England shut out the US in Group B and Qatar create history. It's Saturday, 26th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Dim Cutledge.
Welcome, everybody. What a weekend we are experiencing, eh? A magnificent Friday night in. And now we're ready to get out there and talk about the things that we witnessed last night. Always pleasing to keep a clean sheet, isn't it, Jim Campbell?
Absolutely. Defending is an art, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. David England still top of the group in command. You must be buzzing.
Yeah, honestly.
He got it. I can't even play along.
I'm not fucking playing along.
Manage your word.
Oh my God. Yeah. I just wish it was on a Sunday night. Like, I and then the like weekend wouldn't night, have been ruined. Our weekends have been now by Southgate.
And that should have been a 10 a.m. game, and you think, oh God. At least we've got three games to try and claw some World Cup action back.
Oh, yeah, it was very dull.
Oh God, I'm so sorry. If you know, to anybody who thought to themselves as a neutral, or even as an English person, and you thought to yourself, I'm not really into the football. My goodness, they scored six goals. Actually, you know, I tune in for the next one.
I think I think the anticipation was...
That's the worst bit.
It was crazy because you got your Friday night game.
Yeah.
Everyone's like absolutely like just about it.
Yeah. It's Friday night off the back of scoring 6 goals.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think we're one of those teams now.
Exactly. Yeah. The US didn't look particularly great against Wales.
Exactly.
They were okay, but not brilliant. You thought this is there for the taking. And you and I both predicted 3-1.
Yeah, but I do.
Look like hooligans now, don't we?
We do, and I, as some very helpful people on Twitter pointed out, because deep down in my heart of hearts, I remember going, "Are we going to score goals? I mean, this is England. You know, we shouldn't get too carried away." And then you go, "Oh, bollocks! I'm going to get carried away."
This is it, isn't it? You want to get carried away, so you allow yourself to. We mentioned on the show the other day the Scotland game that no one talks about from the Euros, and it was this again.
Well, I think we should thank
not just the result, but the lack of performance.
I do think we should thank Gareth Southgate because you know after that Iran game, we were getting way ahead of ourselves, and now we're right back down.
When
England won that game, David, I said to you, you know, you've been critical of Southgate, you know, and suggested you may need to eat humble pie. Well, it looks like that humble pie has been spat up all over the floor and that you're ready to give Southgate a few digs today.
Oh, absolutely. I've got a lot of digs.
He's got a lot of digs.
But yeah, of course. Though. Like, honestly, we can't get lost in the euphoria of everything. That's what we did a few years ago at the World Cup. Everyone got carried away.
Mm.
The weather was really good.
Yeah. We had a good time.
The weather was good. Everybody was drinking every day of the week.
Jesse Lingard
was even really good that year
Jesse
as well.
You know,
everyone was in a good place. Yeah, yeah. Everybody was in a really good place, but nobody actually looked at the performances. And even then.
Don't do this.
They were shit though.
David.
Oh, it was, man. We got lost in fucking waste course and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, why?
Okay, let's concentrate on last night before you undo all of English football's history.
But it was just classic. It just, we never take the initiative.
Uh-huh.
Why not? Mm. Why have they gone into that game?
Well, against Iran, they did.
Though? Yeah, but why not carry it over?
Well, no, so for me, it smacked as against Iran, England knew that Iran were going to sit off them and just dig in because it's like, oh, this is the biggest side in the group. Let's just kind of, Iran would have probably thought that. We know Kyrgios likes to defend and can play a bit sort of stodgy football. With the low block, as they say nowadays. And I think Southgate thought, right, that's what they're going to do. So we don't have to worry too much about what's coming at us. Let's just go. Let's take the handbrake off a bit. And then, boom, and that's what happened. We're against the US. He was a bit like, they're a bit more athletic. They're perhaps a little bit more on the front foot. Okay, I don't know what they were trying to think. It was almost as if, let's not lose this, lads. Let's take the sting out of the game. Let's be ponderous. Let's... And it was like, it never got going.
But you've said the key thing there.
What's that?
Let's not lose.
That's exactly how it felt.
You can't go into games with that. No,
especially against an inferior opponent.
Absolutely.
That's no disrespect to the US. They're in the top 20 ranked FIFA sides. They played really well last night. And to be honest, on another day, they may have nicked that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could say that about England, but the fact is they've gone toe to toe, and they will go into that game against Iran with their tails up, and they could well top the group, even if you know it's perhaps unlikely, but you never know. But England, like, it went back to old England, as you say. That Scotland game at the Euros was another one where England thought, we don't want to get into a bit of a grapple here. And the US, it was so easy for them at times.
Well, they really matched England in the midfield.
Tyler Adams who just...
Yeah, had a great game. Yeah.
I mean, they just owned the place.
Yeah, it was baffling, really. I think part of it is the system, obviously, as we've discussed, and that conservative approach that Southgate takes, particularly in group games, and how tedious that can be with that don't lose mentality. And I understand that there is method to that, and it does work, and we are in a strong position if you look at it on paper, but we generally try to enjoy football on grass more, and you really want that in World Cups, right? Mm. But the thing is if you play in that way, you don't create enough moments to actually... to win games and assert yourself and get in the rhythm of taking those chances when you make them. Like a World Cup, 90 minutes seems like no time at all, does it, in a World Cup game? It's the most condensed football you watch because you're thinking, you know, there's a lot of people clamouring for Phil Foden, but like, right, we've seen Phil Foden score some brilliant goals, but he doesn't score 20 in a game. You know what I mean? He might get one chance and you hope he's going to take it. But the problem is the way England played last night, you're not giving anyone a chance to make it, to score.
When people say
creating those chances,
totally.
Not creating those moments.
You're right. I think people say get Foden on. I understand that, but I think you bring on anybody. It was the whole approach. It was the whole, was it a game plan? The game plan seemed to be, lads, let's make sure we don't create too many chances. That's why I find it baffling, because it's not a case of England thought, right, okay, do you know what, lads? Let's sit deep and then hit them on the break because we've got pace and because they're gonna go on the front foot, whatever. Fine, that's a tactic. That's a perfectly acceptable way of playing, even if you are, on paper, the better side. That wasn't a case of, or the other approach, it wasn't a case of, let's try and keep the ball so they don't have it and then our quality will shine through and then, boom, we'll create some moments. That never happened. It just seemed to be, let's make the centre-halves pass to each other and somehow we may score, but they won't.
Yeah, well, I think actually there were some very, very poor individual performances. The front three were all pretty bad. They couldn't seem to connect to each other and link up. On another day, if the you know, we've been talking about the system, but I think the individuals play poorly as well.
Yeah, but even Trippier.
Kane, Sterling and Saka just could not find each other. Trippier as well had a
Trippier,
really poor
like,
game.
But the touch, that's what I mean. Like that suggests to me the approach and the preparation and the complete lack of intensity has almost been planned. That's what I find baffling.
Of course it was. Yeah, that's where he goes.
Yeah, that's why I find it so baffling, David, is that why then is, say, someone like Trippier, who, of course, he can have a bad game, but someone, the touch, the sloppiness, the everything. Maguire was England's best player. Maguire had a good game because it was his type of game, you know, heading balls away, slide tackles and all that. And the US don't have a huge amount of quality up top. Pulisic, you know, nearly scored a lovely goal, but otherwise, Maguire was, you know, very, very good. But the US seemed to break through the lines very, very easily.
They played and really well.
Positionally, they were great. Yeah. They were well organised. They were well drilled.
Dest was allowed to carry it. Yeah. So much. He was allowed to.
He was fuming when he came off. And rightly so.
I was fuming when I saw him in the England box all the time. Yeah. He was allowed to just saunter in there. Yeah. And I just don't understand to have that attitude to allow a player to carry the ball like that.
But the thing is, David, right? So even if Southgate thought, right, okay, which I can't imagine why you'd think this, because it would be A, disrespectful to the opponent and B, not a wise thing to do. But if he thinks, let's almost use this as a training exercise. Now, again, at a World Cup, I honestly don't think Southgate's thinking that. But you know, like some pre-tournament friendlies where you have training exercises in the games and it's a bit boring, but you can see the shape they're working on. You can see, and it's usually against decent opposition. Oh, okay, fine. But this, I don't know what you take from it.
Mm. So were England thinking that was Spain last night? This is our Spain dry run.
That's what I mean. I don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, Mark on Twitter said there are no positives from that game. Literally zero good things happened for England. Absolutely awful game to watch. Whereas Sam on Twitter had a different take. Have you seen the size of America? It's massive. That's a great point.
It is. I mean, Texas is bigger than England, isn't it?
No. I agree with no positives. Like, I agree with that, yeah. Exactly.
Well, if I may add a positive, there is a lot more riding on the Wales game now. And because I'm an absolute sucker, I'm already looking forward to it.
That game's been turned into a cup final now. Yep. Which it shouldn't be. It should have been sorted, and then you could have actually given other players a chance.
Could have used it as a training.
You could have actually used it as a training. Wilson, Phillips, people like that, a few minutes.
And if there's anything that's going to make Wales sort of play above themselves, it's this scenario, yeah. Right?
But I can't sort of labour the point enough, because Southgate said, you know, well, it's a point gained, you know, we are top of the group, etc., etc. Okay, in some way, I do kind of agree with that. So after when England played Scotland at the Euros, Scotland were well up for it,
yeah,
and they were more dangerous than say the US were, even though, as I say, was it McKimmy who had that great chance.
McKennie, yeah.
McKimmy, I'm thinking the Scotland still. Very old Scottish players. My goodness, where is my mind today? Had a good chance. So I understand that there was a little bit of a threat. But when England played that game, which is very comparable to this one, of course, against Scotland at the Euros, Scotland looked way more dangerous. And actually, England thought, we're in a bit of a fight here. Okay, lads, let's maybe, you know, take a point kind of thing, just to kind of make sure. So I understand sometimes you find yourself in undesirable positions and you have to be a bit flexible, and it is tournament football and things can pop up. You know, who would have thought that Saudi Arabia would beat Argentina, Japan would beat Germany, etc., etc. So I get that. But with this, when they say, oh, well, we've got a point and so on and right enough. Again, within the game, it just didn't look like that there was ever an attempt to kind of really properly try and win it.
There was no authority.
There was no intensity. It was just like, pointless friendly at the end of the season. Why, yeah, we've got to play this. Just make sure you don't lose it kind of thing.
But you can completely kill that feeling from an opponent's team.
Yeah.
So that the whole Saudi vibes, Argentina, sorry, could have done that as well. Mm. They could have got hold of the game. They could have controlled the midfield and taken the sting out of the game. England could, there was no, I cannot recollect genuinely five passes being strung together in midfield.
Yeah.
Just to actually try and get back control of the game.
I just don't really understand. And you look, I take a different view from you. I love Southgate. I love what he's done largely with this England side and so on. But when something like that happens, I just go, I don't get it.
Yeah, well, my hope was that, as we've mentioned many times, that pragmatism was leading towards a team that was a bit more possession-based, a bit more dominant, and, you know, with the improvement in the technical quality of the players we've got coming through, that we would set the agenda, essentially. And it just feels, again, a reverting to type of a time where we had a far more limited squad. Mm-hmm. And it's just frustrating to watch, isn't
it? Yeah, very, very frustrating. I mean, look, England now need to avoid a 4-goal loss to Wales to qualify. So it's pretty much done and dusted. Would you take a 3-0 loss, Jim, to Wales?
Don't say that. Don't.
Hanging on. Bale's hitting the bar.
Can you imagine?
Well, the US need to beat Iran. So that game will... I mean, you say the England-Wales is sort of nicely poised or whatever. I mean, the other game in the group is perhaps, you know, the one to watch, if anything, with Wales' performance against Iran, which we'll talk about in a bit, and England's performance more pertinently against the US is anything to go by. So that will be very, very interesting. The US had 15 corners. Harry Maguire seemed to head away most of them.
He was brilliant yesterday, wasn't he?
He was.
If you need someone to smack something with their head, he's your man.
He is the man. But... conceding that amount of corners again in a game like that and giving up so much, it really
felt inevitable, didn't it?
Well, it did, and also
you're more likely to win that game.
You're playing with fire. That's what I mean. Like, there was no sense of control and authority. Anyway, we've talked a bit about that, but yeah, I just quite flabbergasted, really. Chaps, we have to give the US credit. I mean,
of course,
they were very, very good. Contained England. England had a couple of sniffs at goal, but nothing really. The US were full of energy. They passed the ball better. They looked more organised. As we say, Adams and Moose were brilliant in the centre of the pitch. Yeah. You know, they dominated it really. And at the back, Zimmerman and Ream, like, they had a lovely old time. I mean, to be honest with you, it's a fairly straightforward night for them.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've talked about Tim Ream. I'm glad he's starting for the US. He's been brilliant for Fulham this season. Get my little Fulham point in there. And Anthony Robinson as well, another Fulham. But they were great. And you mentioned Dest getting into the box all the time for England. I mean, if they had a little bit more cutting edge, maybe, because Pulisic is their main man going forward, of course, you'd say that they could have won the game, maybe.
I think it is what they lack. Just that little bit of cutting edge. Pulisic's role is really, really interesting, actually, for them. Because if you look at him at Chelsea, obviously just plays as a winger. Mm. But for the US, he's kind of got this free role, number 10.
Almost like a little bit yesteryear Gareth Bale for Wales, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. And they just want to kind of like link between... He drops quite deep a lot of the time as well. So he's always
a clever deployment.
Yeah, it is. It's been a really smart move, I think, to take him from out there. But they've got an incredible...
Despite that, though, Pulisic, it doesn't disrupt the system.
No.
So he still fits in. So as you said, there's a little bit of freedom there to give, on paper, their best player.
Yeah.
But yet it doesn't disrupt. It adds to it.
He works really hard.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, considering he's what everyone would see him as a creative player, he's a winger, but he puts a lot of effort in. And I think for the US, he's like, God, he matters so much to them. Yeah. I don't think people realise how big Pulisic is.
Oh,
he
nearly scored as well.
He did. That was a hell of a goal as well. I think, they controlled the game for large periods of it. And I think it's funny, the talk about the USA before the tournament has been, this isn't the best iteration of them that we've seen, because we've come to expect them to do well at tournaments and that they are taken seriously now and have been for a long time. And I think, it's been interesting to see how they're very much growing into the tournament. Them and Iran is going to be a really, really interesting game for obvious reasons, because you really say Iran have obviously turned things around incredibly given the way the first game went. But they look like they're really going to exceed expectations, given that a lot of people were writing them off as being a bit so-so before the tournament. They're doing it at the right time. Obviously, they've got to start adding some goals and they've got to look a bit sharper up front. But it really is only a tiny tweak, I think, that needs to be made to them for them to be pretty impressive.
I think watching the US play now, you can really see the difference that it makes having more players in Europe as well. I noticed it with Senegal, and they played in a very European way. I was watching them, they were so composed and just calm, and I think everyone was like, oh, this game is very boring, but I was like, we watch this game every 2 weeks in the Champions League. We watch teams approach this way. And the US are like that now as well. They're a lot more composed. They're a lot more intelligent when it comes to the game. And it's not just everybody's like, oh, they're such athletes and such. They're quick. They've got a lot of energy. And they absolutely have, but they're also getting smarter. Their game judgment, their game management is a lot better right now as well.
Wes McKennie, perhaps the moment of the game for me is when he dried his hands on that photographer's bib. Did you see that? That was the sort of sense of entitlement of, well, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't even sort of smile and go, oh, cheers, man. I mean, the photographer found it quite amusing, you know, but maybe I'm being harsh. Maybe McKennie knows him very, very well. When asked after the game whether the late start could have affected England, Roy Keane said, you could sit here all night and make excuses. They were playing darts last night.
I don't see how that relates to the first part of the sentence, but there you go.
It's Roy Keane, isn't it? So, I mean... Phil Foden, people said that, you know, he should have been brought on, but I don't think it's a personnel thing.
Yeah, if he'd been brought on, people might have said the same about Jack Grealish. You know, it's just this.
Yeah, so what, I mean, in the next game, are we expecting England to kind of go, right, more of the same against Iran?
No, I'm not, to be honest.
I think
England probably will beat Wales, but I think it'll be narrow. I'm not expecting it to... I feel like... You kind of swing one way or the other, don't you? You become really enthusiastic after the Iran game, and now after this game, I feel really, really pessimistic, and I expect it to be a grind, really.
Yeah, it is. And it's like, it's been turned into that game. It just didn't need to be like this.
Mm-hmm. It didn't need to be. My goodness. I look at this, and again, I think to myself, you know, if England play against the side who have just got more quality, they get punished there. I mean, if you think about it, England could play... If England do go through, which again, it would be an extraordinary turn of events if they didn't. But assuming if England go through, it'll be Netherlands, Senegal or Ecuador. Now, we'll talk about those teams in the second half, of course, with their results yesterday. But I mean, when you do your World Cup predictors and all this kind of stuff and you think, could England go far enough so they are in a position to play the likes of France or Brazil or Spain... And then you utter the word Spain and I shiver. Just think any side who can keep the ball, you know, it's just going to, David, you know a bit about Spain.
On a personnel level,
yeah,
England are up there with the absolute best. On a personal level.
Yes.
You look at that squad, that's incredible. I was looking at the bench last night and I was like, my God, there's so many different options here. But it's how you utilise it. It's how you put those players out. It's just how you set up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Everybody's like, oh, looking at the Spain squad and go, oh, they've got no world class players anymore, have they not? You know, where's the big players? Not all Ramos isn't there. Piqué isn't there. This player isn't there. This player isn't there. It doesn't matter. It's how they set up.
Yeah.
It's how Luis Enrique approaches it. He always says, don't fear anyone. Why should we fear anyone?
Yeah. Well, he's an interesting chap, Luis Enrique. And we talk about the preparations for matches and so on. When asked whether he allowed the players to have sex before the game, presumably the night before the game, in the changing room. But he said, I mean, if you're at an orgy the night before a match, it's not ideal.
It takes it out of you, doesn't it? You know what I mean? When you've had an orgy the night before. You're not for it the next day, you know.
I love that's where he's gone, first and foremost. Sex the night before. Orgies? Do you about orgies? No, Lewis. Okay, fine.
And then, the question is quite strange to begin with.
Yeah, well, that question often comes up, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then he said, but hey, I consider sex important. And as a player, whenever I could with my wife, I did what we had to do.
That could be a Louis Van Gaal.
Yeah,
that could be a Van Gaal quote. It really, really could.
Well, he's quite an interesting bloke, Louis Enrique. I think we're only really beginning to discover this in this country. But David, you've known about old Louis and his interesting turn of phrase and quotes for a little while now. Because he's quite a character in Spain, isn't he?
He does not like the media. He doesn't like us. If he was here, he'd be like, bunch of dickheads.
Yeah,
that's just how he approaches everything with the media. He doesn't have time, because I think he reads them and where their questioning's going and what they're trying to do and what they're trying to get from them, and he's very, very aware of that.
Is he a bit like the Mick Lynch of Spain then?
in his own way.
Honestly, it's a really good shout. I think I said it before we came on air. He's like, Mick Lynch is a great shout. A bit of Jack D as well. Yeah, honestly, a Mick Lynch, Jack D. I mean, honestly, what a mix.
That's a lovely one, that, yeah. He also discussed the fact that Ferran Torres is dating his daughter. And he said, if he scores and does the baby dummy celebration, I'd sub him off immediately and he wouldn't see a football pitch for some time. But
that's weird as well. Wouldn't that be good news? You're going to be a granddad.
Yeah.
Oh, what? This is terrible news.
That's how he found out, though.
You know, true.
I
mean, Ferran Torres has got a brilliant opportunity to do something really funny but really risky here, though, isn't he?
Then he'll test Luis Enrique's sense of humour, won't he?
he's, by the way, he's a great example, by the way, of just going back and being more serious and what have you. He's a great example of putting the system first before the players. Everyone's like, oh, why is Ferran starting? He shouldn't be there. And other players as well. There's about three or four of them in the team. And everyone's just kind of, why they're there. But he always puts this, he goes like, look, I've got an idea how I want to play.
Yeah.
This is how I'm going to play. If it goes wrong, bring me up on it. But for now, just let me do my thing.
I think they could be there or thereabouts, old Spain in this World Cup. But it's early days, everybody. It's early days. Well, yes, England, I mean, if they do need to change their approach, thankfully, there is a man who we can call upon. I don't know if we called upon him before, but he certainly bailed us out, of course, in one major European championship. And he's offering his services once again. It's Yuri Geller. He says he will hover above Qatar in a helicopter and use his abilities to help England win. And he said in this quote, I will only hover in a helicopter again. If I'm invited to do that, because it has to be a mutually agreed situation. Sadly, most managers are very cautious and they are afraid of controversy. But Gareth, if you're open-minded, get me there and I will do everything in my capacity to make England win. Well, I tell you what, chaps, surely Gareth has got to, you know, go press the send up the Yuri Geller sign.
Is after that, yesterday, why not?
Is that definitely Yuri Geller? Because that sounds very much like Matt Letizia. He pretty much said the same thing. He goes,
Letizia's getting in a helicopter. Don't have him hovering around crying out loud.
He probably doesn't believe they're real.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, he did remind us that, of course, I'm referring to that time Gary McAllister missed that penalty at Euro 96 when the ball moved just before he was going to hit it, which, of course, was Geller's abilities in action. Seaman saved the penalty. And Geller said, when I shouted in the helicopter, because apparently he was hovering in a helicopter
just above the stadium,
which we're all still grateful for. He said, and the ball moved away in that instant. You cannot debunk that. None of you can. Okay, it's real and mind power does work, so there. So there we are.
When will his reign of terror end?
Is he reigning?
I don't know.
He's just hovering. He's not reigning.
He's an incredibly wealthy man. Yeah. I don't know how he's managed that.
Somebody needs to break down his front door. Jesus.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Guys, sorry, live on Sky News. Your reaction to the win?
We lost.
Sorry, reaction to the loss, and apologies. Reaction to the loss?
Shit.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Some Welsh fans on Sky News yesterday. Just, yeah, get your words right for some fans who have just been gutted about their team and don't expect much. Oh, dear. Yes, Iran 2, Wales 0. Jim and I, we did a live Twitch stream yesterday after the match, but we're going to talk about it again now. Two stoppage time goals to beat Wales. Ah, the Wales players, the way they just collapsed to the floor. Yeah, it was gutting. Absolutely gutting for them. In contrast, though, Iranian player Sadar Azmoun celebrated by sort of strangling Carlos Queiroz.
Love that. That was really good.
Queiroz sort of seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm not implying anything.
Another sex positive coach at the World Cup. I'm all for it.
but a phenomenal win for Iran.
I didn't really get like Wales like acting like they've just been in an epic. They were shit. They did nothing. They did absolutely nothing.
That's it. I mean, you really
they
do.
They look slow, yeah. Old, boring, mm-hmm. Honestly. Iran put all the... Iran are incredible.
Yeah. Incredible is a strong word.
No, I thought they were brilliant.
Really?
Yeah, I really, really do.
So we talk about approaches. Their approach against England. I mean, they'll look at that US game last night and just think, actually, maybe we
go at this. They'll be full of confidence now.
Yeah. I mean, look, ultimately, they got 3 points, so I think they would have taken that.
Two brilliant goals as well. And again, actually, we mentioned this on the stream, but I think this is the first time we've seen the extreme amounts of added time actually affecting a game. Because the goals came in, what was it, 98th and 101st minute?
Yeah, well, I mean, there was a big stoppage, of course, with the red card.
True. I mean, 11 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, that.
This isn't going to catch on, is it not?
No.
I don't know.
This is the one
sort of
quantum
concerned
thing.
It will, yeah.
Yeah.
There's always something, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. FIFA often do this, don't they? I mean, Iran, they looked the more likely. I mean, there was that incredible passage of play when they hit the post.
In the bar.
Each post.
Hit the post, in about five minutes. Then a point blank save as well.
Yeah, it was a great save from Henderson.
Yeah, I just thought they were really good.
They were way more positive. Do you think that for Iran it was a case of just get through the first game?
I just respect teams who are positive.
Well, but they weren't against England. But David, you can't ignore.
That's not a dig at England, by the way.
No, but you can't ignore what they did against England. Though,
yeah.
Because they looked really, really conservative.
Yeah.
We know Queiroz is that type of coach. So I'm saying, are you surprised with the approach they took?
Against England?
Like, it seemed to be they respected England far too much.
Because of the quality. They've looked at the players and they've been like, we can't live with this. Whereas they have looked at Wales and just thought, right, okay, who's their best players?
Mm.
You've got Ramsey and Bale, who are 40-year-old, 50, whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like that, is trudging about.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just kind of like, okay, we've got a lot to offer.
Mm. Well, there's a talking point, Jim. Aaron Ramsey and Gareth Bale starting, they are two players who have been great players for Wales and their clubs over the years, of course, great quality. Some would suggest that, you know, the team is sort of carrying them. Others say, well, no, hang on. They've kind of got Wales into the position where they are. Wales don't have other players like that. And if you take them out and you put other players in, then you reduce the overall quality with Wales. And it's kind of just, they're not going to find anything. I said yesterday on the stream that actually I would probably be tempted to bench Bale and bring him on for the last 25 as an impact sub, and he can go hell for leather. And you've got a front, and I would have a front three of Wilson and Dan James either side of Kiefer Moore, because Wilson and James play that role. Obviously Wilson more, but Dan James has played that role for Fulham, and Mitrovic is not too dissimilar to Kiefer Moore. You know, he's a bit of a target man who loves getting his head on the end of crosses and stuff. That would be the approach that I would be tempted to take. Now, I understand that people say, well, what if you get a dead ball, or what if you get a penalty, Gareth Bale? Well, I think Wilson is good at hitting a dead ball, personally. So I get that, but you've got to do something. And I just think Wales are... Yeah,
I think the issue with Bale has been, it's not so much his age, is it? It's that he's not been playing because he's had an injury. So he needs to play himself back into match fitness, essentially. So you have to play him to do that. And I think
you know, if they go out and he doesn't play Gareth Bale, he's going to get absolutely hauled over the coals. And I do.
Well, it's too late now. It's too late now to do this. But that would have potentially been my. That's maybe what I'd have done against Iran. But it's easy to be wise after the event, of course. But I mean, what do you think, David? I mean, there's been huge. There's been criticism for those players.
I don't understand why Brennan Johnson isn't starting as well. I think he's a really, really good player. I think he's kind of been lost at Nottingham Forest because of how many signs they've made. I think this should have been his year, I think, where he kind of like gets the team by the scruff of the neck sort of thing with Forest. And I just think with Wales, and I completely agree with what you're saying, I'd have Dan James and Brennan Johnson there, and you can just play on the break with those two. That's like insane amounts of pace you've got there. And there was none of that yesterday. There's nobody who can really keep the ball and then just distribute it out to some quick players because there's no one there to basically take up the pitch.
Well, and Wales need to beat England now.
They do.
And that is not a position they wanted to be in.
And also, I mean, they're in an unfortunate situation with Wayne Hennessy now being suspended for that game because Danny Ward, as we've spoken about quite a lot this season in Premier League terms.
You hate him?
I don't hate him. I just think he has been kind of noticeably bad in a way that Premier League goalkeepers rarely are. And it might just be a patch of bad form. And I don't want to dig any individual out, but like it's a drop off in quality from Hennessy.
Well,
He looks like a fourth goalkeeper, basically.
Well, somebody pointed out on the Twitch stream that we did. I think there's only been a few goalkeepers that have conceded more goals at the tournament than him, which you know is very harsh.
But true.
Wayne Hennessy. Was it a red card, David? I cannot believe the ref gave that as a yellow.
Of course it's a red, but it is unlucky at the same time.
Oh, it is, yeah. Like, it, genuine attempt for the ball, but the player, I forget who it was, just nicks in there. Brilliant play from him. Very, 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 very quick and very astute. But, you know, he took one for the team crying out loud.
Goalkeepers do this, though. I think, like, referees have kind of given them a license to do a lot of stuff. So if that was in the if that was in the penalty area, he probably would have got away with it.
Yeah.
They would have been like, oh, right.
Yeah, it was, I mean, we've seen so many kind of head injuries, haven't we, at this tournament so far? So we don't want to say any more of that. But yeah, so he, was it Guy Mowbray? I forget which BBC commentator it was. Said, no matter how Welsh you are, that's a red. Oh dear. But yeah, Robbie Savage said a few days ago when he was talking about Iran against England, he said, Iran were terrible against England. I could still play against Iran now and win a game of football. I've watched all the TV coverage. Iran were useless. Macclesfield would beat Iran. And Robbie Savage obviously owns Macclesfield, so he's probably but look, Jim and I got prediction wrong against the US.
We did.
He got a prediction wrong there. He's in great company.
I actually quite like Robbie Savage when talking about Wales because he is just a giddy little kid, isn't he? Yeah, and I think there's something enjoyably pure about that.
Yeah, he's definitely a Wales fan, which begs the question, why is he not in Tenerife? Because that's apparently where all the Wales fans are. Have you heard this? There are thousands. Instead of going to Qatar, loads of them went to Tenerife, which is brilliant.
Yeah. It starts off sounding brilliant, and then you see all the videos of the idiots sort of like doing street fighter in the street.
I can't believe anyone would like want to go away for that, you know? I'm just looking at the street there it's on and everything like that. Yeah. And it's just like, why?
The biggest vodka revolution in the world.
You could have done there.
Horrible.
You could have done there in Newport. Yeah. Why have you got a Tenerife? Do you know what I mean? It's not even that warm right now.
Yeah, true enough. I mean, does anybody give Wales a chance of beating England? They'll have probably been oddly heartened by that US performance.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
In a way, it couldn't be a better opponent for them because they're going to be so fired up for it. Yeah. And actually, you look at that England team, then if they're going to give away that many set pieces, you've always got a chance.
Mm. No, that's right. I think Wales will be gutted, obviously, in the manner of the loss, of course, so late in the day because a point would have been a good result. But I think, yes, England have got the quality that Wales don't have, but they will look at that US performance and go, right, lads, well, You never know. It will be interesting to see what happens in the other game against the US versus Iran. Who would your money be on that then, David?
I think Iran.
Do you think Iran? Yeah.
There's some big geopolitics going on there. I think Iran's going to have a little bit of extra motivation against the US.
Interesting.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, they certainly. So with all that, with all the protests that they did, of course, not singing the national anthem, they did sing the national anthem against Wales. And I suspect that they've made their point. They've got those on side who they want to get on side. They've got those who were on side previously offside, if you see what I mean. And so I think this is the true expression of what they kind of want to say and what they want to do. And you saw that with the scenes of celebration at the end of that game. I mean, they were wild. Their tails are up now.
Absolutely. What a turnaround it would be if they get through as well. Well, having been 6-2 in the opener.
Absolutely right. You know, so we shall see. But I think that will be a very interesting game of football. Chaps, whoever goes through in Group B, of course, will be playing whoever goes through in Group A, which will be the Netherlands, Senegal or Ecuador, because Qatar are out. They've created some unwanted history because they are the host nations that have been eliminated the quickest at a World Cup. We remember when South Africa went out in the first round. I think they were the first hosts to go out in the first round of a World Cup, but they were still alive in the third game, which they beat France, but goal difference against, I think it was Uruguay, put them out. But yeah, Qatar have gone. They did score a goal though, Jim.
Yeah, it was annoying.
You didn't want Qatar to get any kind of joy.
No, I think the thing with the Qatari national team being here is it's always a bit of a sideshow, isn't it? I don't think anybody involved with Qatar expected them to get through the group or really sort of put much of a showing in. So yeah, they've been swatted aside, and they're pointless, aren't they? They're just pointless.
They're just going to go straight to support Saudi now as well. Yeah. So the Saudi game.
Are you sure?
Yes.
But is it? There's a bit of animosity between the two nations, or is it just the government?
Did you see the Emir of Qatar the other day?
Really?
With the Saudi flag.
Yeah, well, I think they're trying, but then okay. Do your own reading on that, everybody. I'm not going to get tangled up into all that. But interesting. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, because and of course the Netherlands and Ecuador drawing meant that they were out after two games. We should say. So, yes, Senegal, though, 3-1 victory. Goal difference may well come into it. It may have some sort of say in this group. It may not, though. But they got a few goals, and that sets up Senegal versus Ecuador quite nicely because Ecuador drew 1-1 with the Netherlands. I mean, that could be a vital point. Well, a vital point for both sides. I mean, Netherlands are playing Qatar next. Surely the Netherlands would beat Qatar and they would go through top of the group, you would think.
I mean, that is the kind of nightmare scenario for Qatar in terms of trying to, for those players, in terms of trying to get something out of it. I suppose just for the fun of it and just to have something to cling on to. Netherlands needing something out of that is a nightmare for them.
I think the Qatari players will feel bad if they don't deliver anything to the fans.
Yeah, I think so as well. Yeah, I think so. I mean, they looked a little bit.
The goal is probably going to be that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Given the size of the
nation. The thing is, they should have scored probably a couple against Senegal, actually. They had the chances.
I think Afif's been really, really good. Mm. It's just there's absolutely nobody on his level in that Qatar team, and it's hard because I know they set up their Aspire Academy many years ago to kind of, you know, to get ahead of this and to have better players about. And
it's just not happening.
No, absolutely not. No. And he's clearly a level above.
Indeed, yeah. Well, Ecuador, with that point against Netherlands, saw Enner Valencia score his third World Cup goal. He was then taken off on a stretcher. Immediate reports suggested that he will be fit for the Senegal game, so we shall see. Hopefully, because he's having a great tournament. But Senegal versus Ecuador is a tasty one. And the way Ecuador played against the Netherlands, you know, they'll think, oh, we could have got all 3 points there.
Yeah.
But I mean, from an England point of view, assuming as we are, England will go through to the next round, I'm thinking, well, you know, Ecuador could take England apart. They look like they know what they're doing. They've got great pace. They've got a bit of ingenuity. I mean, they were impressive against the Netherlands.
I thought they were really, really good. But I think I said this before as well when I was talking about Ecuador on another podcast the other day. And I said it'd be interesting to see what they're like without Valencia.
Mm.
Like, I don't know who they've got after that who can do what he does. He does such a great job up there, and he really, really suits the style.
Yeah. Little mention for old Gakpo in the Netherlands side. Scored again. Yeah. He's getting a bit of attention from Europe's top clubs, Jim.
Yeah, he's been having attention from Europe's top clubs for about 2 years now, doesn't it? Yeah. Every day. I'm surprised.
Yeah, but nothing like a World Cup, though, Jim.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I wonder if he'll get the move to a with respect to the Eredivisie, to a bigger league in January, because he looks just ready to go, doesn't he?
He's got an interesting build for a winger. Yeah. You don't see many wingers who are that size with that physical build. Mm. So it'll be interesting. And maybe Apple will make him their first sign at Man United.
Indeed. There we are. All right, everybody. Well, of course, the World Cup action just keeps on coming. We're back reviewing some meaty games tomorrow, including France versus Denmark, Argentina versus Mexico. Come on, that's a lovely World Cup tie.
I think that might be the most World Cup game possible.
It'll be up there. Yeah. Certainly up there.
There's been clashes between their fans as well.
Oh, really?
Oh, I love that. That's what you want to see. That's the sort of fan activity I want to see.
Not nasty, surely.
No, just a bit of shouting.
Just a bit of shouting. Yeah, okay, yeah. We need to clarify that, Dave.
Yeah, just a bit of shouting.
Shouting's one thing. And then, of course, Australia against Tunisia. Currently, Australia are 1-0 up as we record with not long to go from that lovely little glanced header from Mitchell Duke. So interesting to see how that one will finish. So you can listen on your favourite podcast app to all that good stuff, as always. But thank you very much for listening to The Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you, my man.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.